Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast is brought to you by High Echelon. High Echelon PC is a nationwide CPA firm based in Atlanta focused on a great client experience. High Echelon provides top quality work with total transparency so clients always know exactly what they're getting. They believe accounting doesn't need to be complicated and that clients should get the experience they deserve, which includes top-notch accounting, tax, and payroll services, timely communication, complete data flow, and the best automation security. Book a call or drop them a line on their website, highecheloncpa.com. The Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast is also brought to you by Blue Pineapple Travel. Blue Pineapple Travel is an agency of experienced travel advisors who help you design the perfect trip. Blue Pineapple Travel advisors are all well-traveled and knowledgeable, and they will be your advocates from start to finish. They love to help people plan their travel, whether it's for a race, a family trip, a weekend getaway, or the trip of a lifetime. Their goal is to match you with the trip that you want. Relaxation or adventure, traveling solo or with a group, inside the U.S. or abroad, Blue Pineapple Travel can plan exactly the trip that you want. Find them online at BluePineappleTravel.com and see some of the great places that folks who have worked with Blue Pineapple Travel go on their Instagram, at Blue Pineapple Travel. MPE Coaching is the coaching arm of the podcast. If you like what you hear here and you need help preparing for a big goal, reach out to us at PleasantPodcast@gmail.com or MPEcoach@gmail.com. Trail races, marathons, triathlons, multi-day relays, we have helped people get ready for all of these things. Our approach is rooted in proven exercise physiology, but we also bring our own experience as coaches and athletes to bear. We specialize in helping adults with busy schedules find ways to build fitness and accomplish their goals. Whether you're looking to complete your first multi-sport race, qualify for Boston or Kona, set a new marathon PR, or simply become a healthier, happier athlete, we can help. Click on the coaching link on the podcast website, www.mostpleasantexhaustion.com. The Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast is also brought to you by Elemental Altitude Training Center. Elemental Altitude is Atlanta's only altitude training facility. At Elemental Altitude state-of-the-art indoor training center, they are capable of simulating elevation of up to 24,000 feet. Training in the thinner air and lack of oxygen prompts an increase in red blood cells, meaning that more oxygen can be delivered to your working muscles on race day. Athletes undertaking all sorts of goals, from rugged mountain climbs to flat sea level marathons to Ironman triathlons, train in the hypoxic environment created at Elemental Altitude. I trained there several times ahead of my successful race at the London Marathon in 2022. And Michelle trained there extensively for the Silver Rush 50 in 2023, her first ever 50-mile race that spent a lot of time over 10,000 feet. In addition, Elemental Altitude hosts a variety of physiological testing, such as sweat testing, blood lactate testing, VO2 max testing, and a variety of metabolic testing, which can tell you your resting metabolic rate and the types and amounts of fuels you are burning at different training and racing intensities. Drop them a line at info@elementalaltitude.com if you have questions or to set up an appointment. Their website is elementalaltitude.com. And finally, our new sponsor for 2024 is Bright Hair. Bright Hair is a creative design studio offering branding, graphic design, marketing, and website design and support. They designed our Most Pleasant Exhaustion logo, and they are helping to build our website right now. The folks at Bright Hair are patient and thorough, and they listen to your feedback. Their expertise has been critical to our getting our branded merchandise shop off the ground in early 2024. Be sure to reach out to them with any graphic design or marketing needs that you have. You can find them at brighthair.com. That's bright, B-R-I-G-H-T, hair, H-A-R-E.com, or on Instagram at bright.hair. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast possible. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast, brought to you by MPE Coaching, Blue Pineapple Travel, Elemental Altitude Training Center, High Echelon PC, and Bright Hair. My name is George Darden. I'm an endurance athlete and coach in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a father of twin boys, and I'm a college professor. It's actually one of those sponsors that we're going to be spending a lot of time with today. Michelle and I last week traveled up to Elemental Altitude, which is just outside of Atlanta in Dunwoody, Georgia. And there at elemental altitude, rather than taking advantage of their marquee offering, which is things related to altitude, instead, she and I decided to get sweat tested. And we're going to talk a little bit with Chuck Sims, the owner of Elemental Altitude, about what that involves. We'll take the test, and then, of course, we actually did a debrief afterwards, both with Chuck, and then she and I got together and debriefed on our own here. And so you'll notice the audio is a little bit different. The audio we recorded on site at Elemental Altitude is a little bit different because I'm recording on my phone rather than, of course, recording with microphones there in Elemental Altitude. Nonetheless, there's a lot of interesting things that Chuck had to say, and some of the stuff we found was enlightening. Enjoy. All right, we are back in Elemental Altitude, our favorite hangout here. I have Michelle, we have our good buddy Chuck, we even have a cheerleader here.
Woo woo, let's go!
So, recent finisher of, what was the name of that race, Eric?
Badwater Cape Fear.
Badwater Cape Fear 50 miler. Eric Henderson is here. Sweat test, baby. What all's involved in a sweat test?
We do a couple of different types. Today we're going to do like a full comprehensive one.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to do a sweat rate test along with a sodium concentration measurement test.
Cool.
So the sweat rate test is we're going to have you individually go into the bathroom, strip down, weigh yourself. Also hold any bottles that you're planning on drinking and get that weight as well. And get the combined total. We're going to document that. We're going to run for an hour in a nice warm environment here in the room.
It's not oppressive though.
It's not oppressive.
Excuse me. Chuck, what was the temperature when I walked in 20 minutes ago?
It was like 77.
Okay, and Chuck turned off the heat because we were afraid we might have an issue and we didn't need a hot room. So, yeah, it's not oppressive right now because it's probably 10 degrees cooler. Yeah.
Fair. Now, so you could make it hot. You would make it hotter if it was, if we were trying to figure out the sweat rate for a hot race or something like that, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we're trying to get somewhat close to what it would be like in the warmer temperatures.
Right.
Say in Arizona in October?
Yeah.
South Africa.
Or South Africa in June?
June, yeah. So we're trying to get something close to that. And then we'll run for an hour at a strong effort, or effort of what you think you're going to run in the race. If you're trying to calculate your sweat numbers for a particular event.
Right.
Try to run for an hour at that pace or close to that pace. Once we're finished, then we'll go back into the bathroom. You'll weigh yourself again, strip down, towel yourself off, get any excess sweat off, and get that weight. So we'll get those, you know, the two numbers will calculate how much weight you lost.
Right.
Okay. Convert that to liters. So we'll get an actual how many liters did you lose in an hour.
Okay.
Now, the sweat collection patches that we'll put on your arms, we'll take those off, and I'll measure that sodium number, see how much sodium is in a liter of sweat.
Right on.
Right? Put those two things together, and we'll be able to determine how much each of you loses in an hour. How many milligrams you lose in an hour, and then how much you should be putting back. You know.
Sounds good. Yeah. So what's the temperature in the room right now?
So
it doesn't, like I just said, it doesn't feel oppressively hot, thanks to Michelle coming in and complaining about how hot it was.
Right.
The heater getting turned off.
It's not my heater. 77.4.
77. All right. So I mean, that's, yeah. I'm standing here in long sleeves. I'm wearing my MPE windbreaker, and it's not brutal. I am kind of wishing I was wearing a singlet rather than wearing a t-shirt, but, you know. All right, so 77 degrees. And then one other question just about the general protocol here before we hop into the other room and start weighing ourselves, Chuck. So both Michelle and I have ultra-distance races sort of on our minds, and ultra-distance races, by their nature, start off really low intensity, but then that same speed becomes much higher intensity later on, right? So how do we actually replicate that when we're trying to do the hour in here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say we probably want to target what your highest pace is going to be.
Okay.
And figure that out.
Okay.
And then you can obviously scale back a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's not a matter of replenishing 100% of what you lose mm-hmm. every hour. Mm-hmm. You want to be somewhere in a 50-75% mm-hmm. of your loss back. So you can always scale down a little bit early on mm-hmm. and then ramp it back up again and try to keep that range somewhere in there.
Gotcha.
And then also you want to kind of assess how you feel. You know, if you're starting to feel cramps coming on or the onset of stuff like that, you may want to increase a little bit during, you know, it's such a long event. But
yeah,
there's some wiggle room in there, I think, that you can play with those numbers a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think ideally I'd like to see what your sweat is at the pace that you want, you know, your strongest effort in that
okay.
pace. Yeah.
And so it's not your, unless I guess you're training for an hour long race, it's not supposed to be your best hour necessarily. Like, I'm not supposed to be running at tempo pace, the fastest I can possibly hold for a full hour here, right?
If you're running tempo in that race.
Yeah, right.
But so, I would say probably not right. in comrades.
But both Michelle and I are looking for ways to not have to run as hard as we possibly can for an hour here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All right. But at the same time, it's not just supposed to be a jog. We want to be putting in a little bit
yeah.
of effort here.
Yeah, we want to see kind of, you know, how much weight loss are we talking about here?
Gotcha.
Because that's a big factor because some, you know, her rate may not be the same as your rate.
Right.
You know, I have seen you run in here just in training, and I see how much fluid comes off of you.
Right.
I would just, by eyesight, say that you are a very high rate of fluid loss. Mm-hmm. Now, that fluid loss may not be necessarily high in sodium. It could be,
yeah.
you know. And then Michelle, her rate may not be as, you know, she may not produce as much.
She may loss. Simply glisten.
Yeah, we don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. So
or that, not.
You know. So I, you know, if I were guessing, just based on assumption of what I've seen between the two of you, I'm going to say your weight loss is George is going to be a lot more than probably her weight loss.
Okay.
But we don't know for sure.
Yeah. I bet I'm saltier.
So hey, we'll see. Actually, I'm because I agree with you. Just based on my own experiences, I am a major heavy sweater, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's gotten saltier. As I've aged, I've gotten saltier. Yeah, but I do feel like even the last couple of races I've run, and you even commented on this, Michelle, at the half marathon relay or the marathon relay, the Atlanta Marathon relay, that I'm crossing the finish line like covered in salt.
Yeah, if you see streaks and things like yeah. that, then you're definitely on the heavy side.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
So,
but. Again, it a lot depends on how much sodium is in that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because, you know, you could have someone who's losing a ton of fluid, but it may only be like 500 milligrams per liter. Mm-hmm. Whereas you could have somebody who's up in the 1500 range or higher.
Right.
And be high fluid at the same time.
Right.
That's a dangerous combination there.
Yeah.
Because you're not only losing a lot of water, but you're also right. losing a lot of salt at the same time.
Right. So my saltiness might be less than Michelle's, but if my volume is higher, then the overall amount of sodium that I'm losing could actually be higher.
Maybe. Yeah. Depending on how much you take in.
Yeah.
You know, because you might be someone who's, you know, if you lose 3 pounds, that's 1.36 liters. Mm-hmm. Converting that to ounces, you need about 45 ounces of fluid an hour. Mm-hmm. Just that's the water.
Right.
That's 2 bottles.
Yeah.
Right? Just in fluid loss.
Yeah.
Now, in that 2 bottles, you need to have a certain amount of sodium across mm-hmm. it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 4 pounds, you're talking about 1.8 liters. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting pretty high there in terms of just yeah, right. fluid loss. Yeah. So.
All right. So, 2 more questions. One, and then Michelle might have a question too.
I do have a question.
I bet you do. Salty lady. The first thing, elemental altitude, of course, as the name suggests, and as we always talk about, is capable of simulating elevation. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that today, right?
Yeah.
So as we are standing here in the room at elemental altitude, we are not at 10,000 feet. We're at the regular roughly 1,000 feet.
Whatever Atlanta is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Very good. My other question was, is it going to... So I know you said that we can take in water during it because we're going to use that as part of the weighing process. Mm-hmm. If I take in a gel or if I take in like a chew, is that going to mess it up?
I mean, you can put that in your overall weight mm-hmm. of the total amount you're doing, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's really going to matter too much in terms of like carbohydrates
okay.
you're taking in.
Okay.
But because we normally just weigh the fluid, mm-hmm. but if you want to hold on to that gel while you're
yeah.
standing on the scale, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
It's total.
Okay. That's a small amount of weight, but it's not going to do anything to like the sodium concentration or anything,
no,
right?
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. Cool.
And actually, you know, you said something a minute ago that you think your sodium may have gotten higher as the years have gone on. Most of the people that do this research and do measurements and stuff like that will tell you that your sodium doesn't really change.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like it would have, but I, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Michelle, what were you going
to say? Yeah, Chuck, when George finished the half marathon that he was talking about, I was surprised with how salty he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a point that just because he was exuding salt, it doesn't necessarily mean that he fueled wrong. It doesn't mean he fueled correctly either. But can we see anything from like just physically after you finish a run and you know that you're depleted? Or is the sweat test really just kind of give you that necessary metric?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, I think how you feel at the end, you know, if you're really wiped out, you know, and you feel like you're depleted, you know, like when you were telling me what happened with you in your last marathon, how you came in actually above weight, you know.
Yeah, it was like 8 pounds up.
Yeah.
And you kept it for several days.
Yeah.
But that's every single time I do anything, whether it's marathon,
yeah.
an ultra, a backpacking trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really hard to determine that end of a race kind of thing based on this. I mean, you can only really do as much as you can in terms of preparing accordingly based on your numbers to make sure you take in enough. But I think if you're feeling pretty good at the end, you're not, after you end, you start walking around, you're pretty close to what you should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
To say it another way, being covered in salt at the end of a race doesn't mean you necessarily did anything wrong.
Not a necessary indicator.
Right? No.
Yeah.
Well, my first reaction was, "Why are you so salty?"
Which I think is a perfectly legitimate thing, and I definitely heard people say, "Oh yeah, I really screwed up my sodium intake during that race. I finished covered in salt." Right.
Exactly.
I mean,
that was my first thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a perfectly logical thing to think, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually kind of like your direction to say, okay, well, how did you actually feel at the end of the race? And that's probably, are you able to walk around? Did you perform well? Like, those are much better indicators mm-hmm. of whether you actually fuel correctly or incorrectly,
yeah,
whether you took in enough sodium and fluid and that sort of thing.
You know, using myself as an example, when I was heavy into the triathlon, seeing, you know, back in 2018 and beyond, even on training days when I would go out and ride at places like Cartersville in the middle of summer or run, I had chalk all over me,
right,
you know, at the end.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that I didn't do what I was should have done in terms of salt intake. It's
right.
just, that's just what happens. I guess I'm streaky.
Right.
I'm a heavy fluid loss. A lot of sodium comes out. I mean, when I was measured by Precision Hydration years ago, I was like almost 1,600 milligrams.
Wow.
On their scale.
An hour. Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's a whole lot.
Yeah.
That's element and a half.
Yeah. So my bottles that I
it's so much.
Yeah, my bottles always had over 900 milligrams in
wow.
each.
Yeah, okay.
And I would,
I don't think I'm that salty, but
yeah.
We'll see. Michelle probably is.
And, you know, it sounds like a lot of salt, but if you think about it, I mean, a quarter teaspoon of table salt has over 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot of salt.
But still, like, you drink Element. Element has 1,000 milligrams of sodium in it,
uh-huh.
and it tastes like you're drinking a salt lick.
It's so good.
It's
yeah.
so gross.
Very good.
Oh,
Team
yeah.
Element.
Yeah, just,
watermelon salt.
Yeah, no,
so,
not there, not
water
there.
Element, I just like to dilute it in water.
There you go. far better.
No problem
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
And with that, Michelle and I weighed ourselves, and then we got on the treadmill side by side and began doing our workouts. So, as you heard Chuck say, this didn't have to be our absolute best hour. It simply needed to be a good, solid, kind of hard hour. And so my plan was to warm up for about 10 minutes, and then I set the grade to 3% and just ran up a 3% grade for 45 minutes. That left me about 5 minutes at the end there to cool down. That way, the intensity actually came from going uphill rather than from running fast. I kept it at a fairly easy pace, or what would be an easy pace if I wasn't running up a 3% grade. I would say in the end, the effort was somewhere for me between half marathon pace and marathon pace. So certainly harder than what I would do if I was just going out to do a regular hour on the treadmill, but certainly not an all-out race that was going to leave me gasping and bent over for air and things like that. Michelle was doing something similar. She warmed up and then she was likewise going to get the intensity from going up hills, but she was going to do a series of hill repeats, 5-minute hill repeats. She actually did the first one, and as you'll hear her say, that was a little bit much for her, and so she just decided to run flat for the remainder. It's a different mindset that you take into a sweat test because you're not trying to hit a mark or a target for the workout itself. Rather, you're just trying to put in a good solid effort that's going to make you sweat, and we definitely did that. So both of us sweated a great deal over the course of that hour. We weighed ourselves again, and Chuck tested the sodium levels from the pads that he had put on each one of our arms here. Just by looking at us, you could tell that I had sweated more, and in fact, that was the case. Michelle lost about 3 pounds of fluid. That's about 1.5 liters of fluid, or about 50 ounces of fluid. I lost about 5 pounds of fluid, which means it's about 2.4 liters of fluid or about 80 ounces of fluid. And like I said, you could definitely see that coming off of us on my body, all over the treadmill, everywhere else as we were running along. Michelle did a sweat test, as she said, about a year ago that showed that she was average saltiness. And she still is. This one kind of confirmed what she found a year ago. Every liter of her sweat had about 1,000 to 1,100 milligrams of sodium in it. The most glaring result was actually the sodium content of my sweat. In every liter that I lost, that means in all 2.4 liters that I lost, there was about 1,800 milligrams of sodium. From about 600 to about 2,000 milligrams per liter is the range that Chuck tends to see. He's had a couple of outliers that were lower than that and above that, but generally the lowest he sees is about 600 per liter and the highest he sees is about 2,000 per liter. And I was 1,800, which goes to show that's a very high amount of sodium that was in my sweat. What's more, it's about twice what it was measured to be only about 6 years ago. I'm not real sure why that happened, and you're going to hear us talk a little bit about that in the debrief right now. So neither one of us were really able to take time to debrief with Chuck and record that while we were still at elemental altitude. But Michelle and I circled back around a few hours later, and we recorded the following. Okay, it is now a few hours later. Michelle, how you feeling?
I'm thirsty. I wasn't part of the debrief because admittedly I had a hair appointment to get to and I felt I needed to shower before that. So I took off once we
I figured it was just because you're a CPA 3 days ahead of the tax deadline. You could have just gone with that.
No, that's kind of lying. We are no, I mean I did just sit here for a while. There are some stragglers, but as a firm, we are done. I will not go to the wire. And you know, we sent engagement letters on January 2nd. And I just really believe that if you haven't gotten your stuff together by about April 10th, then we'll talk to you on the next go round in that extension window. So gave my team the day off yesterday and Monday, because I think anything at this point I can handle, and I should be handling these clients.
So
anyway, yeah.
But can you handle the dehydration that happened to you over the course of the hour between roughly 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. this morning?
I mean, I think so. I think I have hopefully good information to figure out how to rehydrate. Yeah, man, it was hot in there. I was at about, I mean, I think we'll talk about it, but I felt this, I think he made it a little less hot about 40 mm-hmm. minutes in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm hot.
Yeah.
And then I think when the humidity dropped a little bit, I picked up the pace a little bit more, but man, I was hot and I'm thirsty. Yeah. I'm really thirsty.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny. So on the thirsty point, I just started driving out of the parking lot and I was like, oh man, I'm really kind of thirsty.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake, which I have made before, but yet made it again. You know, they always say that you should never go grocery shopping when you're hungry. It also goes for when you're thirsty. And so I go into the grocery store to get a couple of things, and I buy like four different drinks. I got like this cold pressed juice, and I got some water, and I got some sparkling water. It was just kind of all of the above. Yeah. But no, I was super thirsty as well. And obviously it's because I was dehydrated too. Yeah. It was funny there. So at the 40 minute mark, like you say, he essentially turned the air conditioner on. And the reason why is because between your sweating and my sweating, the room had gotten so humid that the screens in the room were fogging.
Oh, really? So I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. So you had Eric over there who was doing the work and that sort of thing. And you had Chuck and then you had Chuck who was doing some other things related to his job. And their screens were fogging up because it was so humid in the room. So he actually turned on the air conditioning, not to lower the temperature of the room, but just to try and make it less humid. And you said that you like were reinvigorated when that happened.
Well, I had slowed it down a little bit right at 30 minutes. And I felt really bad at 40 minutes, but then maybe I didn't feel cold air. Maybe I felt the lack of hot air blowing on us.
Okay.
But I definitely, it was like this, oh, I feel pretty good again. And then I tried to go back to where I was, but about 10 minutes later I was, yeah, I don't know. It was whatever. I mean, it was a sweat test. So
yeah.
I think the purpose was to sweat, and I felt like I was sweating sufficiently. So
yeah. It's funny. And the purpose is to sweat. Yeah. So at that moment when he turned on the air conditioner a little bit, there was a part of me that being the masochist that I am when it comes to endurance sports that we're all a little bit of that are endurance athletes that said, oh, why is he turning on the air conditioner? And let's keep it hot. You know, let's really test this thing, you know? But the point, like you say, was to sweat. And that's a different mindset, that the point is not necessarily to hit like a workout goal or to hit a pace or something else like that. The goal is to put in a solid effort such that your body starts kicking out a whole bunch of sweat so you can actually test it. So you lost 3 pounds worth of sweat.
3.2 pounds.
3.2 pounds, which is about 50 ounces.
Yeah, 50
or so.
Ounces. Yeah, it's exactly 50 ounces.
Yeah. He said he measured you with on one arm, it was 1,000 and on the other arm is 1,100. So somewhere between 1,000 to 1,100 sodium. And that aligned with what you had actually found before, right?
I think so. I think my sweat loss was, but that's, let's say average 1050 milligrams per liter of sweat, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I have to go back and look at that. But in my mind, I had that I lost like 1,000 milligrams of sweat per hour.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if that's actually from the other test, if that was actually per liter. And then I have to do the calculation on what I'm actually losing per hour and then figure out what I'm trying to replace.
Right.
Well, that's where I got a little confused.
Was the thing that I didn't know until today. I assumed in the past when I've done a sweat test in the past and they said that, oh, this is what your sweat rate is and this is the number of milligrams of sodium. I thought that that was milligrams of sodium per hour. I didn't realize that was per liter. And so my total sodium loss was somewhere around 4,000 milligrams, which
yeah, that's
just
pretty
seems
crazy.
Profound to me. That's just so much. Talking about beforehand, of course, we talked and everybody heard it. We were talking about how salty like element is, and that's 1,000. And four of those is what I'm actually sweating out. That's crazy to me.
So 1,800 milligrams per liter for you?
Yeah.
But I guess you're...
And I lost
your
5 pounds.
Fluid loss was 2 pounds more than me.
So yeah.
Is that why you're... So you're losing 4,000 milligrams per hour?
Four thousand milligrams per hour in those particular conditions. And so at that effort level and in that temperature, we're looking at 4,000 an hour. And if I'm sweating less, that means I'm losing less sodium, right?
Right.
Obviously.
Correct.
But sweating more, losing more. I need to read a little bit more about one, how your sweat test sodium rates could change. Because as Chuck and I talked about, and as everybody already heard, like it tends to be stable. It tends not to change. And you're evidence of that, right? And so it could be that simply last time we did the test, it was incorrect. Last time we did the test, it was hotter and I was on a bike. I don't think that makes any difference, but one way or another, to go from about what your levels were, to 1800, that feels significant. That feels like a big change to me. And I assuming that we didn't mess it up when we did it before, which is a possibility, I want to know how that could have possibly changed, you know? I don't
Yeah, I
feel like
mean,
I haven't changed all that much. My diet hasn't changed all that much, I don't think.
yeah, that's pretty wild.
It's not like I was not training then and I am training now. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right.
there haven't been, so far as I know, besides getting older, any radical changes in my life that would perhaps predict this shift. So we'll
Yeah.
see. And then of course the other thing I want to see, and this is kind of what I'm curious about. I don't take any sodium during a marathon, right? And it's not a problem. It's not a big deal. Or at least I don't think it's been a big deal up to this point, right?
Right.
And so there's two things that I kind of want to research in tandem. One, is it possible that I could be running even better than I do currently in marathons if I took in a little bit more sodium? I
Right.
want to become a little bit more familiar with that. And the other thing is, of course, if you multiply it out beyond a marathon, right? Comrades is more than double a marathon. Is eventually me going into a sodium deficit, is that going to catch up with me in 40 miles? Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
Yeah, sure.
I can get through a 2.5, 3 hour race with a sodium deficit, but I can't get through a 6.5 to 7 hour race with a sodium deficit. Like that's a different ball game.
I mean, I feel like generally speaking, that 2.5 hour mark for most elite marathoners, they're not taking sodium. Like there's got to be like a point of where you can get away with either like a hyperhydration from the beginning or just getting your salt from food and being hydrated going in, but you don't actually need to replenish during and you'll replenish after versus needing to, be replenishing as you go along. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense, right? Because that's what you need with water. Like water's that way, you
Yeah.
know? Like I don't have to hydrate during a half marathon. My half marathon is a short enough effort for me that I don't have to drink water, but I'd certainly have to hydrate during a marathon. Like that
Right.
crosses the threshold to where dehydration could occur and that would compromise my performance. So
Yeah.
where is that threshold for sodium loss? For me at least, it's certainly beyond the marathon. But I don't want to find out at mile 40 of Comrades that that's where
Yeah, I think
the
that's
threshold
the danger,
is.
right?
Yeah, totally. And you know, it's interesting too. So last weekend, and I thought about this a lot, and I thought it was interesting when it happened. But this past weekend, I went out and I ran 3.5 hours around Paris Mountain in South Carolina. This was supposed to be the weekend that I was going to do Clingman's Dome. We talked about it last month,
Right.
you know, but
Yep.
it turned out
Yeah.
Clingman's Dome was actually covered in snow, so that was a non-starter. And so I went to Greenville, South Carolina, ran a whole bunch of laps around Paris Mountain, and it was great. It went well, despite the fact that I hit the ground many, many times. And then the next day, I ran a trail marathon in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I got to the end of the trail marathon, and some things were kind of threatening to cramp, but never really quite did, right?
Right.
The next day, the next morning, I woke up. So Sunday morning, I woke up after those 2 days, and I really wanted a salty breakfast. And I don't think
There you
I've ever
go.
actually had that feeling. Like
Yeah.
I was like, what do I want for breakfast? I want something salty. Like I've never actually wanted a salty breakfast before. And so I had a salty breakfast, had eggs and smoked salmon, right?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like
Yeah.
I'm just always craving salt.
See, I don't feel that way. But
I
maybe
don't
that's because
know.
I get enough of it already. I get enough of my diet. So I'm not sure. All right, Michelle, I appreciate you going with me to our friend Chuck at Elemental Altitude.
Yeah.
I do feel we gotta address one more issue, and perhaps this is maybe the most important issue of all, and maybe need to clear the air a little bit. And that was the playlist issue that actually took place while you and I were side by side on the treadmill. Michelle, you said we both had headphones, and we said we're gonna put on headphones, we're gonna leave them off, and you said, well, why don't you connect your playlist to the speaker here in the Elemental Altitude room? And we will play your playlist, which is my 2024 playlist, which has all sorts of songs that have particular meaning for me based on lyrics or when I first heard them or something else like that, right? And they're also, I think, good workout songs, right? So start listening to the playlist. We get into it. Things start getting difficult. And eventually, you kind of reached your breaking point when the song Bridging the Gap by Nas came on. Which I should point out is the song they play during the training montage in the movie Creed. And so objectively, it's a decent song for workouts, right?
How many beats per minute is that song? Seriously, I want to know.
Less than 140, probably. Probably less than 140. We can look it up. But at that point, you got mad and you yelled out. And Eric, your assistant, said, well, I'm just going to take over the playlist. I'm going to kick George off the speaker and I'm going to take over the playlist. Now, I don't think Eric, to his credit, understood what an affront to what Spotify calls an alchemist like me that was, like suggesting that my playlist was so bad that he was going to kick me off and start playing a completely different playlist. So I, though, tried to find a middle ground and said, Eric, give me a request.
I mean, this was just doomed to fail from
And about a minute goes by, and rather than just telling me a song, he texts me three songs. And so amidst all the sweat and everything, I had to pick up the phone and open my text list and all that sort of thing. I click on the song he gave me, and I'm presuming he's giving me a song that is a Michelle workout song, one that's going to inspire her.
It was awful. What was it?
That is not what we got.
it was slower than what we were listening to, wasn't it?
It was. It was a Coldplay song, which was, I thought, a terrible choice, yes. So you complained about that. I let it play for about a minute, and then I switched back to All the Above by Mano, which is a good song. It happened to be the next song that was coming on my playlist, so had we just let it play, it probably would have been okay. And we were able to finish up the workout. But
like, how about some Katy Perry or something like, you know, where you can like really work out to the music?
I'm with it. I don't know. I'm with it. Good to know. So next time, if we decide to put it on the speakers next time, I will go just straight light pop. Is that the way to go?
Yeah, I think that's probably admittedly what, I mean, I didn't know one song. Well, I knew one song, you know, but it was still better than...
You knew Waka Waka, which came on right about the halfway point, which I was excited about. I was excited that it's on my 2024 playlist and you were going to get to hear that.
I was just nervous that it was going to be so much sweat that my AirPods, I mean, even though they were probably fine, I just didn't want to be dealing with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it was fine. I mean, it was really only at that point where I was like, oh, I'm so sick of this music.
Well, you, the CPA, 3 days ahead of the tax deadline, were also like working too, well, right? So Eric kept standing up and asking you work questions. So you actually had work to do. So it's probably just
I was panicking a little bit just about my inbox, and he's very good at taking like 248 emails and getting it down to, you know, 105 or something. I was pretty good at that until about that 40 minute mark. And then I was like, I can't actually explain that right now. So hopefully
I get it.
No, multitasking. I was
impressed you were able to multitask that much with two things that require some focus. One, running an up-tempo run in the heat while you're sweating profusely, and two, responding to clients about their last minute tax issues.
I did wonder though, where did 8 pounds of sweat go? Is it just all on the floor? Is it on his treadmill? Like, where is that? I asked on the way out. I said, where did that go?
At least some of it was in the air, which is the reason why they had to turn the air conditioner on, right? There was a good
8 pounds of fluid. A lot of fluid, right?
There's plenty of it still on me, I think. Like,
yeah,
when
that's
I got
true.
Off
right.
The picture of me that was taken that we'll post on Instagram, looked as if I had, you know, just done a sweat test.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it was still on me. A lot of it was actually in my shoes and socks.
Yep. That's a good point. Yeah. You know? My stuff is needing to be washed, and it's pretty heavy when I go pick it up. So that's a good point. I guess clothing can absorb a lot of it. So
for sure, for sure. Yeah. So I think it's that. And I mean, it was on the floor, man. I mean, it was pretty gross. I've run several workouts there now, and this is the first time that I ever actually like kind of felt my feet slipping a little bit in the sweat on the treadmill.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
That's disgusting.
It's interesting. I think I sweat like straight down on myself, and your sweat just flies off the back of you. Like, that's what because I was wiping myself the whole time, and you never were once wiping your face. But then I saw behind the treadmill, and I'm like, oh, there's his sweat.
Okay.
It's not in his face, it's behind you.
For an instant, I thought you were going to say, your sweat just flies off of you and flies all over me next to you.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
I'm glad it wasn't that. All right. Yeah, good.
Very good.
All right. Well, I kind of look forward to next time. We'll see. I do look forward to actually operationalizing some of this information and trying to figure out exactly what this means for me moving forward. But we will see, and I'll keep you posted.
All right.
Thanks, Michelle.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks again for listening to the Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast. Don't forget to check out our new website that we're building in early 2024, mostpleasantexhaustion.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/pleasantpodcast or on Instagram at mostpleasantexhaustion. We're available on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tell your friends and don't forget to give us a rating. We also offer coaching services through MPE Coaching. You can reach out to us at pleasantpodcast@gmail.com, at mpecoach@gmail.com, or just click on the coaching link on the podcast website. Again, that's www.mostpleasantexhaustion.com. Thanks again to our sponsor, Blue Pineapple Travel. You can find them at bluepineappletravel.com, at facebook.com/bluepineappletravel, or on Instagram at bluepineappletravel. Check out High Echelon PC at highecheloncpa.com. Big thanks to our sponsor, Elemental Altitude. You can find them at elementalaltitude.com, on Instagram at Elemental Altitude, or on Facebook at facebook.com/elementalaltitude. And finally, thanks to our newest sponsor, Bright Hair. You can find them at brighthair.com or on Instagram at bright.hair. On behalf of Michelle Frank and Eric Hall, thanks for listening to the Most Pleasant Exhaustion podcast.